Chapter 12, The Silent Valley. How agreeable and pleasant this valley is, thought Milo, as once again they bounced along the highway, with the humbug humming snatches of old songs to his own vast amusement, and Tok sniffing contentedly at the wind. I really can't see what Dr. Discord was so concerned about. There certainly couldn't be anything unpleasant along this road. And just as the thought crossed his mind, they passed through a heavy stone gateway, and everything was very different. At first, it was difficult to tell just what had changed. It all looked the same, and it all smelled the same, but for some reason, nothing sounded the same. "I wonder what's happened," said Milo. At least, that's what he tried to say, for although his lips moved, not a sound came from his mouth. And suddenly, he realized what it was, for Tok was no longer ticking, and the humbug, although happily singing, was doing so in complete silence. The wind no longer rustled the leaves, the car no longer squeaked, and the insects no longer buzzed in the fields. Not the slightest thing could be heard, and it felt as if, in some mysterious way, a switch had been thrown and all the sound in the world had been turned off at the same instant. The humbug, suddenly realizing what had happened, leaped to his feet in terror, and Tok worriedly checked to see if he was still keeping time. It was certainly a strange feeling to know that no matter how loudly or softly you chatted or rattled or bumped, it all came out the same way, as nothing. "How dreadful," thought Milo as he slowed down the car. The three of them began to talk and shout at once, with absolutely no result, until, hardly noticing where they were going, they had driven into the midst of a large crowd of people marching along the road. Some of them were singing at the tops of their non-existent voices, and the others were carrying large signs which proclaimed, "Down with silence! All quiet is no diet! It's laudable to be audible! More sound for all!" And one enormous banner stated simply, "Hear, hear!" Except for these, and the big brass cannon being pulled along behind, they all looked very much like the residents of any other small valley to which you've never been. When the car had stopped, one of them held up a placard which said, "Welcome to the Valley of Sound," and the others cheered as loudly as possible, which was not very loud at all. "Have you come to help us?" asked another, stepping forward with his question. "Please," added a third. Milo tried desperately to say who he was and where he was going, but to no avail. As he did, four more placards announced, "The Silent Valley. Listen, look carefully. And we will tell you of our terrible misfortune." And while two of them held up a large blackboard, a third, writing as fast as he could, explained why there was nothing but quiet in the Valley of Sound. "At a place in the valley not far from here," he began, "where the echoes used to gather and the winds came to rest, there is a great stone fortress, and in it lives the Soundkeeper, who rules this land. When the old King of Wisdom drove the demons into the distant mountains, he appointed her guardian of all sounds and noises, past, present, and future. For years she ruled as a wise and beloved monarch, each morning at sunrise releasing the day's new sounds to be borne by the winds throughout the kingdom, and each night at moonset gathering in the old sounds to be catalogued and filed in the vast storage vaults below." The writer paused for a moment to mop his brow, and then, since the blackboard was full, erased it completely and continued anew from the top. "She was generous to a fault and provided us with all the sound we could possibly use, for singing as we worked, for bubbling pots of stew, for the chop of an axe and the crash of a tree, for the creak of a hinge and the hoot of an owl, for the squish of a shoe in the mud and the friendly tapping of rain on the roof, and for the sweet music of pipes and the sharp snap of winter ice cracking on the ground." He paused again as a tear of longing rolled from cheek to lip with the sweet, salty taste of an old memory. "And all these sounds, when once used, would be carefully placed in alphabetical order and neatly kept for future reference. Everyone lived in peace, and the valley flourished as the happy home of sound. But then things began to change. Slowly at first, and then in a rush, more people came to settle here and brought with them new ways and new sounds, some very beautiful and some less so. But everyone was so busy with the things that had to be done that they scarcely had time to listen at all. And as you know, a sound which is not heard disappears forever and is not to be found again. People laughed less and grumbled more, sang less and shouted more, and the sounds they made grew louder and uglier. It became difficult to hear even the birds or the breeze, and soon everyone stopped listening for them. He again cleared the backboard as the humbug choked back a sob, and continued writing.